No sé si viste la última noticia, que el mundo se va a acabar y esta vez no es mentira.
I'm here with Enrique Chi from Making Movies, and they'll be at Lotus Festival both Friday and Saturday at the Ivy Tech Community College tent. Enrique, thank you so much again for being on the air with us.
Oh, you're welcome. This is fun. Thank you for having me. We're really looking forward to the festival.
Yeah, definitely. We are too. The Lotus Festival website bills you as alt Afro-Latin rock, which always sounds like a good time. Can you give us an insider's perspective on the Making Movies sound?
Yeah, it's funny. I kind of get tickled when people figure out a way to call it. That's definitely not what we would call what our band does. But I don't know if we have a great name for what we do. But here's the vision. We kind of figured out there's a reason why the music that I grew up hearing from my mom and my dad have a similar energy. See, my mom, we're all from Panama. She's a true Panamanian. You can't dance to it if it's not like a tropical Latin rhythm. She doesn't like it. Like the Beatles to her sound like what, you know, a gothic death metal band might sound like to someone else. Like, oh, that's noisy. Whoa, you know. She grew to like them over the years of being married to my dad. But my dad grew up listening to the Beatles, Rolling Stones. He was a weird Panamanian in that he loved rock and roll, and he would seek out all this psychedelic rock and find records and find a way to listen to the music even if it didn't get played on the radio down there. And so I grew up in my house with that split personality, if that makes sense, and hearing both sides. But I always heard there was a weird link between them, and we kind of got to the source of it. And the source is that there's these rhythms that came through the slave trade, really. There's kind of a West African culture that most of the slaves came through, and they carry this spiritual rhythm that was part of their religion called Yoruba culture. It evolved into Santeria culture and the Caribbean. And those rhythms are the genesis. It's the same thing that creates Mexican folklore music. It's the same thing that eventually births what gets called salsa in New York City years later. And it's kind of the same thing that's in a blues shuffle. Tink, 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 tink. It shares DNA. It has an ancestral common heritage. It is una pura medida. Love, but since rock and roll has this linked heritage, then we find all this room to play in where we can explore all the beautiful and rich rhythms of Latin America, and we can put any kind of song on top of them. So that's kind of a philosophical like explanation to what we do, but here's what it ends up feeling like. It ends up feeling like a Latin dance party, but a rock and roll concert. That's kind of how the show ends up feeling. But it's like this dual layered thing, and it's been great to explore it. It's really fun to see how much the marriage of sometimes disparate musical styles actually kind of highlights their common ancestral roots. It's really fun. That's kind of where we really get excited to create when we think about those things.
You released an album, I Am Another You, a little earlier this year, and I believe it's the second full-length album for Making Movies, and that definitely definitely got the psych rock, definitely got the rhythms, the different styles. But there's also a lot of really kind of heavy thematic sort of storytelling layers to it. So can you tell us a little bit about the album and how that came about?
Yeah, it's our second one working with Steve Berlin of Los Lobos. And we're very lucky that he likes to produce our music. There's nobody that could probably do it better in the world. And we linked up with him kind of randomly because he has 30 years of experience running around the world playing in Los Lobos. But he also has produced music, all kinds of music, world music artists, blues artists, rock and roll artists. He actually grew up in kind of the L.A. punk scene. So he has this wide breadth of music, and I kind of described to him this idea that I wanted the album to feel like it narrated three different characters from different parts of the world. And I think that's kind of the beauty of being an artist and also being an immigrant, is that I get to have these friends from Latin America that I love as dearly as I love my friends here in the United States. I have family from both parts. And then as an artist, too, since you perform in different cities, you also make relationships with people. And it gives you this kind of weird perspective where everybody is so vastly different in their cultures and their ideals and their priorities. But then there's also these intrinsic links where these people they have never met, and you're the only link between them. You know, my aunt has never met my Los Angeles friend, my aunt in Latin America, and she never will my whole life. But I can love both dearly. They will never meet. They have very different ideals and priorities and different lives. But at the same time, there are some intrinsic things that make them similar. And that's why we can connect. There's something in the human spirit that is like universally similar. So we try to make an album. And I told Steve this wacky idea, and I love him for saying, yes, let's do it, and pushing us all the way to the finish line. But the idea is like, how do you make an album that describes that? Like, these humans are so different, they even speak different languages, but yet there's something linking them. And so we tried to make kind of a musical painting of that feeling as a human being. And I think that's a beautiful feeling, realizing that there's something connecting all of us.
I know that also as a group, you're very politically active, or you definitely have a strong messages, and you are active in your communities as well, and you go to schools and talk to students. Can you tell us a little more about how that all kind of comes together with your music?
Yeah, about 8 years ago, it's actually kind of came at the same breath as meeting our drummer and percussionist. So my brother and I were already kind of writing these songs, and I was at a little community event I had asked to play songs for. And at the event was a folkloric dance group, a Mexican folkloric dance group. And the leader was this woman who now happens to be the mom and dad of our drummer and percussionist. And she told me, she's like, hey, you should definitely meet my kids. They are very talented. They play music. I didn't know that a few months later I would meet them and just, you know, they joined the band. And this is kind of how it all played out. But I decided to start volunteering for this non-art organization because I realized there's a lot of kids that just immigrated to the United States. And they were there doing their kind of showcasing their art and stuff. And also by meeting Maria, who had done this dance group for 35 years, is a way for kids who immigrate to the United States, is a way for them to keep the culture. That also inspired us. And I realized that in this one immigrant neighborhood in Kansas City, there was no music programming at all. I mean, you couldn't get a guitar lesson as far as I knew. There was no access to it within miles. So we decided to host a music camp for these families. And as we started to meet these families and meet these kids, there was a lot of stories that were similar to mine. I moved to the U.S. when I was 6 years old and didn't speak any English, was randomly brought to the Midwest through some connections my family had. And I could really relate to their stories. And then there's also other layers to some of these kids' stories of true hardship. And we made these really strong bonds with these kids. 6 years later, we run this music camp, and some of the kids are grown up now. Not teenagers anymore, now they're young adults. And hearing their stories and being in the community like that, which kind of happened at the same time as the band was born, we just already started doing that work. It has shaped our vision of the world. And I didn't really want to be a political band. That wasn't intentional. But when I started to say out loud philosophies like human beings are more similar than they are different, or when I started saying out loud things like, hey, as a community, my city, Kansas City, we need to not ignore the immigrant communities over here. There are really talented, beautiful young people that are ignored by the systems, systemically ignored by the educational systems, by all kinds of things that they just live in a completely different universe. And as I started to say that stuff out loud and be a voice for it, which for me was very, like, it was just tangible things in front of my face. This neighborhood that I move, that I now live in, and we do a music campaign, is ignored. Hey, let's raise a voice and make sure people don't ignore it. Instead of realizing those are, when you try to actually make people make decisions, those are political things. Same thing with the idea of the way that there's a lack of empathy for like, kids are brought here as immigrants to the U.S. and maybe without the right documentation. And so when you start voicing this desire to have empathy, people see it as political, and I guess because it has to be. But that was never the vision of the band, to be political. The vision was always to raise a voice, because any artist should be doing that, should be raising a voice for the things that they believe in.
Yeah, it's weird to be in a time where empathy is a political statement.
That's kind of what happened.
The group itself, the lineup, comes from a few different countries, is that right?
Yeah, it's our drummer and percussionist, their family's from Mexico, and then the bass player and I are brothers, and we're from Panama. But we all ended up growing up in Kansas City.
A lot of different sounds and influences all coming together and making movies, it sounds like.
There are. We feel like we're, because of that, like, talking about that idea that, like, rock and roll has a rhythmic link, well, really the blues has a rhythmic link to the Latin music, the music of Latin America, then it gives us this freedom to play with any genre that kind of shares that common link and kind of mix them together in a way that maybe would be surprising. And that's, like I said, that's what makes it exciting for us to create, because we feel like we have a path that we can do our own thing in.
So it sounds like we've got a lot of sounds to work with, a lot of styles, a lot of themes. And at Lotus Festival, you know, we've got a lot of new artists for a lot of people. So people are always excited to kind of be surprised, but I do want to ask what our listeners can expect from a Making Movies live show.
At a Making Movies show, the rhythms, they carry that like a salsa band in New York City slamming through a dance set. That's what the rhythms feel like. But because the aesthetic isn't that, because that's not what we look like, we look like a rock and roll band, it kind of has that that quality. Like, have you ever, like, thought you were going to take a sip of Coca-Cola, but it was actually a sip of coffee?
Yeah.
And you're like, you get that, like, whoa, surprise me. Oh, but I actually do like coffee. That's right. So that's kind of what happens. You look at us and you think, oh, this is a rock and roll show. And then you hear the rhythms lock in to this, like, very Latin, like, dance hall rhythmic thing. And then at a certain point in the set, we take off our electric guitars. We pull out folkloric guitars. I have a guitar from Panama called a Mejorana. They're only handmade down there. And we play to some of the traditional Latin American rhythms. And our drummer switches from being on a drum set to cajon. And then Juan Carlos and Andres showcase their folkloric dance abilities during that moment. And actually provide the rhythm with a tap dance to kind of really complete the circle. Because those Mexican zapateado rhythms, those tap dance rhythms, they're the same expression of the African rhythms, but it happened in Mexico. They had their drums taken away. The slaves did. There wasn't enough slaves to keep the culture alive like there were in Cuba and in Panama. And so because of that, and New Orleans is the place where the rhythms were kept alive a little more because there was a stronger preservation of the slave culture. But in Mexico, the drums were taken away, so the slaves reinterpreted the rhythms into tap dancing so they could still get away with playing their music. And so we bring it all full circle in those kind of acoustic moments. So the show has this, lives somewhere between going to see Tito Puente or Led Zeppelin or something. I don't know.
That sounds like a very potent combination. So I'm really looking forward to that.
We're really excited to be there. Come out both days. We'll be hanging out. We love meeting new people. So come say hello.
Gotta get out, gotta get out, gotta get out, gotta get out.